Hallo, hier ist Marco from Mantra. Viel Spaß bei The Blog of Rock.
Hallo, willkommen bei The Block of Rock, deinem Hardrock und Heavy Metal Podcast Musikmagazin. Ich bin Uwe Lerch und ich nehme dich Backstage mit zu den Rockstars. Natürlich quatschen wir über die Musik, die uns alle verbindet, über neue Platten, über Livepläne und was früher so war. Aber wir sprechen auch über die Menschen dahinter. Was hat sie inspiriert und motiviert und welche Rockstar-Tipps haben sie für dich da draußen? In den Shownotes, das ist die Beschreibung zu dieser Episode, über die du das hier gerade hörst, findest du einen zentralen Link für alle weiteren Informationen, der dich aber auch in meine offizielle Facebook-Gruppe führt. Ich würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns hier kennenlernen. Bist du nun am Start? Na dann komm doch mit! Heute geht es in den Südosten Europas nach Zagreb, der Hauptstadt von Kroatien. Am Ende der Leitung wartet hier schon Markus Sekul, Frontman der Band Mantra, auf uns, die man als Stilmix aus Folk, Industrial und Gothic beschreiben könnte. Ihr neues Album Monster Mind Consuming steht auf dem Speiseplan. Und um in diesem Sprachterminus zu bleiben, es ist eine kroatische Schlachtplatte über Könige, Kriege und Helden geworden. Mit einer Menge scharfer Balkangewürzen. Ich wollte mehr über diese interessante Rezeptur erfahren und meldete mich bei Marco zu Hause.
Hallo Uwe.
Marco, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, great actually, and it's 8:45, if I can say that, and it was a busy day, but it's really good to end this day with you, so I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for taking the time. It was really, really spontaneous that we have arranged this call, but I'm happy you found the time. And where do you pick you up? Are you at home?
Yeah, actually, right now I'm at home, and yeah, it's pretty relaxed and a pretty nice evening. Tomorrow is the release of the album, so everything is in motion, and there is no stress anymore. All the stressful thing, the long interviews, the serious things are done. So now it's time to relax a little bit and talk. So it's good
to have an easy talk in the evening. That's good. That's good. You're from Croatia. It's not one of the most metal countries we know. Tell me, where are you based? You're originally from Istria, right?
Actually, my family is from Dalmatia, split, and the area was split, but they moved to Istria much before I was born. So I find myself really confused. Like, am I Dalmatian? Am I Istrian? But whatever, I'm from the seaside. So the sea part of Croatia works well for me, but now I'm living in Zagreb because it's the biggest city and all the business and music and whatever happens there. So you need to be there. I mean, that's it. This is the rule of the country.
How is the metal scene in Croatia?
Well, it never, I'm sad to say, and I don't want to be the negative guy, but it sadly never happened. I mean, it never happened like that. A real serious scene formed. I mean, there were a lot of cool bands, great bands, bad bands, whatever, but it never stuck much more for the people. It never capitalized in a serious scene. It was like cool blisses of maybe 1-2 years that something's going on, that some genre is becoming popular, but then it fades out and all these kids are going to some rap music later on, and they're moving back to metal. I mean, it's a small country of 4 million people, and then maybe you have only 100,000 people consuming music, and from that you have maybe 10,000 people consuming metal music. I mean, it's really like we're talking about your town. I mean, imagine that your town is the whole country. So what should you say to me about one town and the possibility of one town? Imagine a band from Frankfurt touring always Frankfurt 20 times in a year. it doesn't make sense.
Sometimes this happens as well. But anyway, so if it's like this, how did you manage to get out of your country and you played the biggest festivals, even in Germany? You played Wacken and Rockhard. Yeah. So how did it happen? How did you get outside, especially when your first releases were all in your language?
Yeah, the first releases were. I mean, I consider them albums, but in a way, they are also kind of a demo album. I mean, they sound nice. They sound professional, but they were only released in Croatia, and we became actually with the first record already, with the first single really popular here. I mean, we became like some kind of underground legends. We sold out all the possible clubs. I mean, these are small clubs for 200 to 500 people. There are no really big clubs here. And I was thinking that it's done. I mean, like, we did everything we could do with this music in Croatia. I mean, we played these clubs, we played all the festivals in Croatia, and I think it was the end. I mean, like, close the book, and what can you do more? I mean, metal, it's not mainstream in Croatia. You can't chart radios with that. CDs are not selling. I mean, it's a small country. I mean, the biggest selling act sells like 1,000 of CDs. I mean, so it's not possible to make a living out of merch or whatever bands are making living out. And then something really, really bizarre happened. I mean, it's a strike of luck. I mean, it really sounds like a fairy tale in a way, like I'm making up a story, but it's true. We've been managed by a guy, a really big guy. He was really aggressive. He was pushing us everywhere, and he was making a bet in our career. And it happened that he was the manager of the Slovenian band Siddhartha. Maybe you heard about them, maybe not, but they're a really, really great rock and roll band from Slovenia, actually the biggest rock and roll band in Slovenia. They're phenomenal. Slovenia, it's even smaller than Croatia. It's like 2 million people, and they are selling out 1,000 people per night, which is impossible. Imagine a German act having 100,000, 200,000 people every single night. It's like this. It's unbelievable, you know. But they are like a miracle, you know. And we are really good friends with them. And their manager was our manager. And it happened that Siddhartha wanted to try abroad, to have a career abroad. They sadly never achieved that, because they're really Slovenian and they're really for Slovenian people. I mean, foreigners can't understand why they are so cool, but I understand. But they booked a support slot for In Extremo in Vienna. And at this gig, our manager and his assistant, they just gave to Michael, Misha, the singer of In Extremo, a CD of Mantra. Like, listen to these guys. They are cool. We heard that you have some house somewhere in Croatia, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, you know, he's getting, I guess, at the time, maybe even more CDs every night by some demo bands or whatever. But then the manager told me Misha got these CDs, and I was really a big fan of In Extremo before. I mean, I was listening to them in high school. I mean, I was listening to all these kind of bands in high school because I had Viva Zwei, and for me, Viva Zwei was the channel to consume music. It was not MTV or, you know, so I was really informed about the German scene. There I discovered Rammstein, Ulf in Extremo, all these 90s cool acts that were big at the time. And so I was really to Misha from In Extremo. Yeah, I gave it to him. Maybe something will happen. And I was, yeah, sure will happen. Never. And then 6 months passed. Nothing, a word from no one. I forgot about it. You know, it was like giving to some star your CD. He will never call you back. Why should he call you back? And then 6 months later, I get a call from a plus 386 or whatever is the plus 39, whatever is the German.
49.
49, yeah. And I said, who is calling me? You know, and I hang up and he goes, hey, this is Michael from In Extremo. I was, Michael, who? From In Extremo. What? I was like, not shocked. I was like, I can't figure out what's going on. I mean, who is this guy? Why is this guy? And then, shit, Michael, the singer from In Extremo. Yeah, it's me. Can we talk? I was like, yeah. I was like speechless, you know. He was, yeah, I listened to your CD. I really like the music. We have this 20-year jubilarium concert in Lorelei. Would you like to come like a guest? And I was like, why? Really? What? Sure. I mean, it was like, I mean, you know, it was like, what the fuck? Who are we? He just got our CD and, you know, and called us. He never met us. He never saw us. Why should he do this? I was thinking, I mean, what's going on? I mean, what's behind this? It's so crazy. And then we went to this Lorelei. We met him. We met him in Croatia before. And he was really like, I'm really fan of your music. You're really good band. I really like it. I was really, I mean, it was for me like incredible, you know, and this is how it started. And this is this kind of luck, because how much chance you have that you are a band from a X foreign country, that it's not really not anyhow connected to another country music, and play some kind of similar music. Yeah, we play some kind of similar music, and that a star from a band that you respect and that you have similar sound lives in Croatia during summer. He finds the band out. He connects with us because I'm from Dalmatia. He has his house in Dalmatia. So we are like, you know, he understands me. He loves this Dalmatian side of everything. So we just clicked like really great friends instantly. So it's really a small chance that it happens. So when someone asked me, how did you push Mantra outside? I mean, this is how it happens. So there is, it's a set formula for others, because they can't learn anything from my experience. It was just pure luck. And then we became really good friends. Actually, I came today from him. He's at the moment in Dalmatia, and I was with the guitarist of Mantra for one night with him. We spent having fun, drinking, having a good dinner, you know. We try to meet as much as possible, because we are having really a great time together. We become really real friends, you know. It's not about the music anymore. We are just, you know, like, we hear each other a lot, and yeah, it's a big friendship, and he helped us so much, and I owe him this starting moment. Without him, we would never be able to make something abroad, and this is the reality. And after that, we met Nuka Kale, which is a great support, a great guy. He's really, really totally into Mantra and understand us. And but he will maybe never hear about us if Misha will not have opened the door before. So yeah.
So let's say hello to Michael. I know him also quite well, and I know that he's having his house in Croatia. Actually, I was in Croatia a few times, I always wanted to visit him, but we never met because he was throughout the summer when In Extremo was on tour. So we never met. But I know him, and we also spent some great times abroad when we've been on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise a few times. So we had some great time as well. So let's say hello to Michael, because I will send him this interview afterwards.
Cool. Hi, Michael. And thank you now publicly.
Monster Mind Consuming is your new album, which will be released tomorrow. And actually, when I counted right, it's actually the fifth album, but it's really the one which hopefully brings Mantra to the German audience on a much bigger scale.
Yeah, I mean, we are so happy that a lot of people recognize this album, that we get so much positive comments and messages from German people that really seems to like the album. And this is, I guess, the biggest award for a band. It's not the number of sales or whatever, it's the number of people that it really means. So I'm really, really, really happy about that. And I didn't expect that. I mean, you never expect anything nowadays. It's the music industry became really, really hard, and whatever it happens, you're happy and humble about that. So,
and this really is cool. Your second release with English songs. So before was more or less demos.
I mean, it was three real albums, but it were only in Croatian, and it was only on the Croatian market. Really limited the copies, quantities. It was really, really, really like a German band would send out demos. This was the, you know, the quantity we printed and stuff. Yeah.
So when German fans will travel, hopefully this summer, to Croatia, they will try to sneak in the record stores to find the original records of Mantra.
Yeah, there are actually some in the markets. I found some few times ago, and it's really funny, because I know that I found this record on a Russian. Some guys sent me a Russian auction, something like that. And this record went to 100 and something euro, I don't know. And in Croatia, you can buy it for €5. It's crazy. in a store.
This is really cool. As far as I can hear, it's a kind of conceptual album full of medieval stories. It's about kings, heroes, castles, and battle cries. Where does it all take place? You know, I mean, the story behind it. Is it just one story about a certain place and time, or is it a mix of, especially of your culture, which has happened throughout the centuries?
Yeah, it's a mix of everything. I mean, I was really, really into the medieval history of Europe and, of course, Croatia, because it's something that I can touch. I mean, I can see these old churches or castles from Croatia, so it's cool. It was never big and rich as the German medieval era and world. You had really beautiful castles, churches, but we were doing fine. We had a big naval fleet. And actually, in near Split, there is a small town called Solin, where my father is from. And this was the first, it was a Roman settlement before, but after that, it was the first settlement of the Croatia in the 7th century, something like that. And the first king was crowned basically 100 meters from my house, directly. From my window, I can see the church where he was crowned. And the church where he was buried, and his wife Jelena, which we have a song Jelena also. So for me, maybe for the other band members, they are a little bit more distant with this. But for me, it was really something I grew up with. I was always surrounded by this medieval Croatian history, not because someone was telling me about that, because I was walking in the street and seeing this church. I was seeing this old plaque with the sword, with the Ord Glagoljica letter. It was some kind of Croatian old alphabet. I was always fascinated by that. So somehow I was always carrying this in me. And this is the first time I let it go. I let it out in the format of a record, really out. And I think people can feel this, that it's really sincere in a way. And this is what we really are. And it's a story about the king, but it's also a metaphor. It's metaphorical because we are all kings in our own minds. And this king can be a really bad king. He can be a really good king for you. It depends how you use this power you have. So you're a ruler. Be a good ruler. So this is the bottom line of it. And the album was created during the pandemic, so a lot of negativity was in everyone's thought, and we need something to get rid of this bad energy and channel it to some kind of strong, let's say, war album with really, I hope, hymnic choruses and powerful riff. That's it. Yeah.
When I listened to the album just a few days ago, I really was impressed about, on the one hand, let's say, the instrumental part of the album, which reminded me a lot of to some also German bands like Rammstein, In Extremo, maybe Oomph, and of course also Mono Inc. But the lyric side and also the vocals, this is more, you know, I really couldn't grab in the beginning when I didn't read where you're from. I thought, oh, this is not it's not a German band. It's not a Scandinavian band. It's something else. Yeah. So I didn't feel initially this Balkan power or Slavic power, which was somewhere a bit unused to me to say. Yeah. But this makes it so interesting. Yeah. So it's, of course, there are other bands who sing about war and kings like Sabaton and lots of Swedish bands as well. Yeah. But the way you sing it and the way it's also the chorus behind, yeah, this is different to all the other bands. And that's why I have these kind of earworms in my ear, in my head from your songs. And this is, thank you for that. I couldn't sleep at the moment because I was listening to your song. But maybe this kind of lyrics and also the way of your singing, is it maybe also part of the Croatian culture?
Well, first of all, thank you. I'm really happy you enjoyed the album so much. It makes me really happy. And regarding my singing, well, it is in a way, it's an it's an old kind of, I mean, my singing is not an old kind of singing, but there is an old kind of singing in Croatia called klapa. It's like a five-piece, six-piece choir. It's like an old medieval church kind of choir. And they're really strong with low voices, something similar to maybe a Russian choir, but smaller and much more medieval. It's really, you get goosebumps when you hear this performing in a, you know, in a good acoustic environment, like an old church. It's meant to be performed there. And it's really a thing for Dalmatia. It's really something traditional there. And all the foreign people who hear that, everyone is stuck like, wow, this is, wow, something different. It's a choir, but it's not a choir. It's something special. It's something really unique. And it's something really maybe that we as Croatians should be proud of music-wise, because it's really quality stuff. And this kind of approach of singing, this like really male-ish stuff, which they are doing, were always for me attractive and impressive. And I tried to mimic them. But after that, growing with rock and roll music and metal music, I start to growl in bands. I've been in death metal band, doing all this, you know, crazy stuff. And somehow these two worlds merged together. And then I was influenced by a Slovenian band also called Laibach, if you know.
Of course.
Which I know the people also, their sound engineer was our sound engineer. I mean, we live near the border of Slovenia, and I was studying in Ljubljana, in the capital of Slovenia. So I met Sidata, Laibach, all these people, you know, and I learned a little bit from them. And I was always impressed by Milan, the singer of Laibach, because like really, really evil voice. I mean, it was, for me, it was like a kid when I was listening to it, I was afraid of him, you know. So it was, wow, it would be so cool that I could make people have a reaction like I had a reaction of fear when I heard him. So it would be so cool to get reactions from people. And then I learned out that I'm not a good singer, actually. I mean, there are a lot of good singers who sing really clear, well, they have technique. I try to tell a story. And then I found out that the only way to tell a real story is to be real. And this is me. And this is how I interpret all these stories. And when I sing, I don't sing things that people can't copy. I mean, these are all notes that everyone can sing. It's sing-along music, but this is why it's close to people. I mean, I at least hope that it's close to people, because when I was listening to some power metal bands and singers are like monsters, they sing incredible. But when you sing along this thing, you feel ashamed because you can't reach that notes. They are so good. I mean, this is more music for the normal people who wants to feel something. I guess it's not the musical technical side that's important in mantra and in myself. It's more about that when I'm angry, that you feel that I'm angry. When I'm sad, that you feel sadness in my voice. And I try, at least. Maybe sometimes I manage that, maybe not, but this is the whole idea. And this is the idea of the choir of Croatia, the klapa I was telling you before. They just evoke so much emotion of sadness, of pride, of whatever they're singing about, of loneliness, whatever. And just with their way of singing. You know.
Would you agree that the music somehow could reflect also to as a soundtrack for a movie? When I take a look at the video clips you made, it's like little movies, yeah? So it's really, you know, really a big production. I don't know where you have done these kind of video clips, but this is something where I see at the end there will be like a full movie with your music included.
Yeah. It would be so cool to have a movie featuring our music that's in this style of genre. And the recording were really guerrilla, because we don't have a big budget, of course, but we'd want to appear like we have big Hollywood movies in our music videos. So we tried to do it all by ourselves as much as we can to save, of course, on the budget and to be able to spend this budget on things that are really important, like renting good cameras and renting a good guy who will edit the video later on. Or we had to rent these people who came with these armors. They are, I don't know how it's called in English, like they make this medieval real, are they like some kind of medieval market, but they are like more connected to tourism. They show to tourists, you know, how it was here before, blah, blah, blah. So every bunch of it is really hard for us because we really have to organize everything by ourselves. It's not like we come to some set, we have an idea, we have a lot of money and it's done. I mean, it's like 3 months before we start to call people around and ask, hey, do you have perhaps a sword? What do you need? So, ah, don't ask. We need a sword. I need an armor. So can you borrow it to me? You know, I know you've been into this Dungeon and Dragon stuff. I know you have something. Yeah, I have Marco. I'll bring it to you. And this is how it works. But yeah.
Sounds really good. Especially difficult in these Corona times as well. Yeah. To organize this. But this makes it even more special when I have another look at the videos. But it's, yeah. But it seems that somehow Croatia has an interesting movie background. You know, of course, people nowadays thinking about Game of Thrones, which was also filmed in Dubrovnik and other places. Yeah. I remember back in the days when I was kid, I remember the Winnetou movies, which were filmed in Croatia as well. Yeah. And
in Istra, near me.
Really?
Yeah. Like 30 kilometers, I guess. Yeah.
That's nice. So that's just, so it's some kind of, let's say, tradition in your country.
There is a legend, I mean, a real story that Clint Eastwood was in my small town of 10,000 people in a hotel recording some movie for 1 month in the 70s. Imagine having in a small city in Yugoslavia at the time, fucking Clint Eastwood, you know, he was the biggest star ever. So people were going crazy and he was just hanging around drinking coffee in local bars and smoking cigars. So...
This is cool.
So cool, yeah.
I hear a lot of German music influences, as I had before, but they are garnished somehow with Croatian spices. So it's the interesting thing is that it's both parts, you know. It's a typical, let's say, when I have a look, you know, where I'm thinking that the music is like a dish, yeah. You have on the one hand, you have the meat, which could be all kinds of meats, but then you have these special Croatian spices, which makes it very tasteful as well. And this is your music in a way, yeah? So it's a good mixture of both worlds. Maybe that's why German people like your music that much, yeah? That's why you've played also on the biggest festivals, and that's why Michael picked you out from other bands, from other demos he might have had in your pocket after the tour.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I cannot be subjective. It's hard to tear apart my music. And if I will be able to do that, I will be much more successful because I will get rid of the bad thing and change it with something better, you know. But yeah, it's not a secret that I grew up with this metal, German metal influence. It's not a secret. And
from Viva 2.
From Viva 2 and Iron Maiden. These were... my idol. I started to play bass guitar because of Iron Maiden. I mean, this was my first instrument, not because I didn't want to play guitar. I wanted to play guitar, but it seemed a little bit more complicated because it had six strings. So four strings seemed much easier. And these were my influences in the beginning. So I think I'm taking this influence with me my whole life without thinking about it. I mean, it's something that I really loved when I was really young, a kid, and somehow it sticks with you forever. I don't know how to explain. It's like football. You start to cheer for a team and cheer your whole life for this team. It maybe goes to second league, third league, but you're still there. You know, it's the music is like that. It's like it's passion, and I just can't change that. And I think this is the reason Mantra has this German influence, because I was influenced by German music for sure.
What do you like most of Germany? Is it, you know, is it the music? Is it the food? Maybe the German beer? German girls? What makes you thinking first when you think of Germany?
Order, really. It's order because Croatia is disorder. It's everything is disorder when you live here. I mean, when you come as a tourist to see the good side. You know, it's perfect. I guess it's perfect as a tourist, but it's really disorder. And Germany is, you know, where things are and how things work. And you know that tomorrow will be the same. Maybe it's boring, but in long term, it's much better for your life. So this is the first thing I think about. Like, it's organized, and I respect that. I really respect that, because we struggle with this. We struggle as a country with this, and all people are like struggling with this themselves. I was really struggling a lot with my organization before I started to work with German people more, and you know, they made me a much more organized guy. You know, also in my day job, I mean, I'm a music producer in Croatia, so it's different. It's different working with German ex and Croatian ex. And after that, I think of good times, because in Germany I always had great time, because I was there tourist, but most of the time I was there as a musician, and I had always great concerts, great atmosphere, great feeling, great again organization, order, technique. So everything was always like, you never worry about. No, if you write something in your rider, you know that if there were no mails warning you that something will be missing, nothing will be missing there. Everything will be work. So good time. For me, German was good time. And I worked also in Hanover in a music studio. This was part of my internship. And I had a really great time. People were really great to me, really supportive. I always felt like home. I never felt like a guy who is not from Germany. I mean, they always tried so hard for me, also tried me to teach me German. I'm really bad in German. I don't know why. I mean, it's hard for me. Somehow I would love to speak it well, but I'm a mess. But yeah, supportive people for me, really, really always. So.
And hopefully you're coming to Germany this late summer. You're scheduled already a tour supporting the great Tanzwut.
Yeah, we're really happy for that. Yes, yes, yes. And we have also a song in this record with Tanzwut, so we are really...
So you're touring with the devil?
Yeah, with Teufel, with the devil himself.
How does this come together? Is it via your label, or did you meet before?
It's more via our label. I mean, we respect the band and like the band and everything they achieved. And for us, it was really, really... nice to hear that when the label asked them, they agreed to bring us on tour. So yeah, we're happy for that.
That's a good chance for you also to get some more German fans to listening to your music. And hopefully we're going to meet. You're playing Frankfurt in my city in one of my favorite clubs. So this is in September. Hopefully by then everything will be a bit smoother. So at least smaller tours could happen. And wishing you the best until then. So what will be the next plans for the next week? So will you do some more recordings when you're working as a music producer?
Well, I guess the next week will be total focused on the new release, the Monster Mind Consuming album. And after that, I think we will meet as a band, because it was really a hard time and we are all scattered apart. And we already have some ideas for some next records, for sure. We'll try this, we'll rehearse, and we'll try to get good ideas for the tour, to have a good show, and to make people have fun watching us. So this is the plan, actually.
But maybe you can enjoy the seaside a bit.
Yeah, I will move to the seaside soon, and good weather is coming. I already did my first swim. It was on the 1st of January. But... yeah, I'm looking forward to jump again in the sea. So, yeah, I'm a seaman in a way.
That sounds good. Thank you very much for our call. All the best
to you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, and goodbye.
Wenn dir diese Episode gefallen hat, folge mir doch gerne beim Podcast-Dealer deines Vertrauens, damit du auch die nächste Folge nicht verpasst. Du bekommst die ganze Staffel als kostenloses Abo unter anderem bei Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Deezer, Soundcloud, YouTube, dem Podcast-Portal von Google oder natürlich über meine Homepage theblogofrock.com. Höre dir dort auch die bereits veröffentlichten Stories an, denn jede Woche gibt es hier neues Futter. Und vor allem, erzähle es deinen Freunden und teile die frohe Kunde auf Social Media. Alles klar? Dann hören wir uns ja wieder beim nächsten Mal. Bis dahin, keep on rocking!